This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to the continuation of our explanation of the Hanbali text, Bidayatul Abid wa Kifayatul Zahid, authored by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam, Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, in our previous majlis, we began the chapter of Hajj, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, it is the fifth pillar of al-Islam. It is this pillar of Islam that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed once after revelation had come to him. His final Hajj, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed this mass crowd of companions, over 100,000 of them, subhanallah. What place is this? What day is this? What month is this? They answered, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, that just like all of that day is sanctified and sacred before Allah, your life, your blood, your property is also sanctified. It is also sacred. It cannot be spilled. It cannot be taken without any haqq. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the famous final sermon of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during that Hajj. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we continue our explanation of Kitab al-Hajj, insha'Allah. We've discussed the shurut, the preconditions. We talked about your zad and your rahila, your provisions for the journey. Upon whom is Hajj an obligation? We learned that with regards to a woman, then she requires a mahram. We also learned that there is the miqat of makan and miqat of zaman. There are certain months that we perform. There's certain months, the months of Hajj. So Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah. We also discussed there are certain places you are not allowed to pass these places if you want Hajj or Umrah, except that you need to be in a state of ihram. Excellent. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we then move the discussion to the state of ihram. The state of ihram and that which is impermissible when you are in that state. Somebody says, Masjid al-Haram, the sanctified haram, the boundaries of the haram, etc. in Makkah al-Mukarramah. That there are certain things which are impermissible within these boundaries. Takbiratul Ihram, when we begin our salah, when we say Allahu Akbar, there are certain matters which are not permissible. I cannot be eating and drinking and running, etc. while I am in my salah. With this takbir, many things now become haram. Similarly, when we enter the state of Ihram, there are many matters which before this were permissible, but now they are not. And we discuss them at length, walhamdulillah. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we now move our discussion to, well, what if I made a mistake? What if I made an error? What if intentionally I put on some perfume? What if intentionally I hunted some game or I put on a jersey as a guy? What happens here? Do I have an excuse? Don't I have an excuse? Is there a penalty due from me? We will now discuss bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Faslun. Fil fidyati, with regards to the expiation, we have the fidya of adha, the fidya which is required if you violate the state of ihram. And the first one we will discuss, ala takhyir. It is built upon options. You have choice in the matter. First option, you can slaughter a sheep or a goat. Second option, you can feed 6 poor Muslims. Third option, you can fast 3 days. Whichever one you want, whichever one's more convenient for you, walhamdulillah, all of them are there at your disposal, insha'Allah. You choose whichever you want. So I do this fidya of adha for what? What circumstance? We will now discuss. وَهِيَ مَا يَجِبُ بِسَبَبْ إِحْرَامْ أَوْ حَرَامْ. That you need to sort out this fidya. And this is due to a violation in the state of ihram or a violation within the haram boundaries. You might not be in the state of ihram. You might be a businessman wearing your suit and tie. You are not in the state of ihram, but you've done something now that is a violation within the haram boundary. And so because of this here, you will need to sort out a fidya. So either you are in the state of ihram, so you've you violated it, you need to sort out the fidya. Or you are in the precincts of Mecca and you have violated the rules and the regulations, and here also a fidya is required. فَيُخَيَّرْ بِفِدْيَةِ, and you have the options, the choices, etc. This is for حَلْق وَإِزَالَ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ شَعْرَتَيْن أَوْ ظُفْرَيْن. This is if you remove more than two hairs or more than two nails. Remember, if it's one or two, then there's a separate penalty which we've already discussed. But if it's three or more, then the normal major fidya applies. Watib, or you put on perfume. Lubs makhit, you put on normal clothes as a guy. Watagtiyat ra's dhakar, or you covered your head as a guy. This is impermissible and this fidya would apply. Wawaj imra'atin, and the female, she's not allowed to cover her face. There is a riwayah that if this woman, she should not be wearing a niqab, which is a normal face covering. But, you know, if there's strange men walking past, etc., she has, a piece of material that she just hangs over her face. She lets it flow over her face, you know, from the back. Then this here would be permissible. This is a riwayah in the madhab. Baina, and what options do you have in terms of the fidya for all of the above? Then you need to fast 3 days. Or it'am sittan masakin. Or you need to feed 6 poor Muslims. What do you feed them? Kul miskin mudbur. Every miskin, you give them a mud of wheat. A mud of wheat. What is the amount of mud? You put your two hands together. Whatever fills up your hands, the average guy, that's a mud, insha'Allah. And 4 muds equal 1 sa'. Excellent. A sa' is what we give as zakatul fitr during our month of Ramadan, ending the month of Ramadan. Aw nisf sa' min ghayrihi. So you either give a mud of wheat or 2 muds of anything else. 2 muds of dates, for example. And so 2 muds equals nisf sa' equals half a sa'. Aw dhabh shah. Or you slaughter a sheep or a goat. So you have these options. Whichever one you choose, that's good for you, insha'Allah. They're all at your disposal, walhamdulillah. Either number one, you slaughter a goat or a sheep. Number two, you feed 6 poor Muslims. Or number three, you fast 3 days. This is all for the violating the state of ihram, insha'Allah. The author continues, the next matter. وَفِي جَزَاءِ صَيْدِ. Now what if you hunted an animal? What if you hunted generally a halal animal? What happens in this case? Do you sort out this fidya? No, there's a separate fidya which applies to hunting. What is it? Can get a bit complicated. وَفِي جَزَاءِ صَيْدِ بَيْنَ مِثْلْ مِثْلِ أَوْ تَقْوِيمِهِ بِدَرَاهِمْ يَشْتَرِي بِهَا طَعَامًا يُجْزِئُ فِي فِطْرَةٍ. Here you have the options. Fi jaza' as-sayd, with regards to the compensation for hunting, is to choose between a similar animal. Similar animal to the animal that you have hunted from the animals which are permissible for you to slaughter at Udhiyah. So from the bahimatul an'am, from the cow, from the sheep, from the goats, from the bull, etc., we need to draw a similarity, a comparison between the animal you killed. Is it similar to a sheep? Is it similar to a goat? Is it similar to a cow? Is it similar to a bull? If it's similar to one of those, then that's the animal that you need to sacrifice. For example, the Sahaba, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they ruled that if anyone hunted, he killed a pigeon, then the pigeon is similar to a sheep, and this is what he needs to slaughter. Remember, the similarity doesn't really depend on similar in all respects. No, they drew the similarity from the way that he drinks water. And so they said, well, the pigeon and the sheep, similar in, the drinking of water. And so if you killed a pigeon while you are in the state of ihram, or you killed a pigeon within the boundaries of the haram, you need to sacrifice a sheep. That's one option. If you do not want to sacrifice the sheep, then you work out, what is the sheep worth? For example, the sheep might be worth 2,000 rands or $200. Then you need to buy food with that $200 or 2,000 rands. You need to buy food, wheat, dates, etc. And then you need to give this to the poor, and you need to give each poor individual one mud. And so technically, here you would be giving If it's $200 or if it was 2,000 rands, here you would be giving like 100 poor individuals. You would be giving 100 poor individuals one mud of dates. And so that's what you need to do. Either number one, slaughter the sheep, or number two, take the value of the sheep in your rands and dollars and buy food and then distribute that food to the poor of the haram. And if you don't do that, then you need to fast for every poor individual. So if it was $200 and I would give to each guy dates to the value of maybe $2, then this would be 100 individuals, then I need to fast one day for each individual. So that's 100 individuals, I need to fast 100 days. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So I repeat. Number one, you killed this pigeon. What is the penalty? You need to slaughter a sheep. According to the verdict of the Sahaba, this is similar to a sheep, so you need to slaughter a sheep. I don't want to slaughter the sheep. I'll buy the food and I'll give away the food. No problem. The value of the sheep, you buy the food and you give to the poor, inshallah. Let's say the value of the sheep was 200. And so each guy gets one mud equals about $2. So each guy would get $2 worth of dates, inshallah. No, I don't have the money to even buy dates, etc. Khalas. So how much would we have given to these people? We would have given $2 each to about 100 individuals. And so for each individual, you need to fast one day. And so 100 days of fasting you owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. وفي جزاء الصيد بين مثل مثلي أو تقويمه بدراهم يشتري بها طعاما يجزئ في فطرة. And the food that you should buy is a food that is applicable and valid for our zakat al-fitr. فيطعم كل مسكين مدبر. You give each of the poor a mud of this food. أو نصف صاع من غيره. Or you give them two muds of any other type of food if it's not wheat. أو يصوم عن طعام كل مسكين يوما. Or you fast for each of those poor individuals for their share of the food one day. وبين إطعام أو صيام في غير مثلي. And or fasting one day in place of the food for each of the poor individuals. What is that there? وبين إطعام أو صيام في غير مثلي. With regards to an animal where we don't have a similar to it. We don't have a similar to it. So there's certain animals that the Sahaba, they've given verdicts that this animal, it's similar one corresponding to the animals we allow to slaughter. It equals to, and it's similar to a goat. Or this one similar to a sheep. That one here is similar to a cow, etc. There's certain animals that maybe you've hunted this halal animal, but we don't have a verdict from the Sahaba. So there's no mithli, there's no comparison, etc. So here, the slaughter of the equal doesn't apply. We just work out what would that animal that was hunted value, and its value, we move on to the feeding and we move on to the fasting options. Because we don't have the first option, which is slaughtering the cow or slaughtering the goat, etc. Because there is no verdict given by the Sahaba, etc. and others with regards to its similar. It's similar. We move on. وَإِنْ عَدِمَ مُتَمَتِّعٌ. And this is with regards to tartib. This one here is built upon tartib. One after the other, we go by order. So it's not you have all your choice. No. This next section here is upon tartib sequence. وَإِنْ عَدِمَ مُتَمَتِّعٌ أَوْ قَارِنٌ صَامَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ. And if the person who is making tamattu hajj or qiran hajj, if they are unable what? They're unable to slaughter the animal. They don't have money, etc. for the animal. Then they need to fast 3 days during Hajj. وَالْأَفْضَلُ جَعْلُ آخِرِهَا يَوْمَ عَرَفَ وَسَبْعَةً إِذَا رَجِعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. They need to fast 10 days. And 3 days, it's good if it was the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. Fast the 7th, 8th, and 9th because you can't afford the animal. Remember, the person who's making mutamatti' Hajj, Tamattu Hajj and Qiran Hajj, they need to offer a sacrificial animal, a hadi. And if they don't do that, if they can't afford that, then they need to fast 10 days. 3 days during Hajj and 7 when they get back home.
And so the three you fast, 7, 8 and 9, inshallah. And then the author talks about the muhsar. Muhsar is the person who is prevented from continuing his Hajj journey. Maybe an enemy is preventing him. Maybe, for example, he is extremely sick. So what happens with this individual? Unable, he can't even go to Arafat, etc. He's in the state of ihram. And remember, the state of ihram, you can't just say, well, you know what, never mind, I'm leaving the state of ihram. No, 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 you're still in the state of ihram, whether you like it or not. Well, المحصر إذا لم يجده صام عشرة أيام. And the person who is in a state of إحصار, the person who's prevented, this individual here, he must fast 10 days. He must fast 10 days and then he exits the state of إحرام. This is obviously if he didn't put a condition in his state of ihram. But if you were entering the state of ihram and you said, إِذَا حَبَسَنِي حَابِسْ فَمَحِلِّي حَيْثُ وَحَبَسْتَنِي, if I'm prevented from continuing my journey, then my exit point is at the place where I'm prevented from continuing, then in that case, because you put the condition, you will exit the state of ihram, one might say, for free. There's no animal, etc. that needs to be slaughtered. There's no fasting or anything required at all. So the muhsar, إِذَا لَمْ يَجِدْهُ, if he is unable to slaughter an animal, again, if the muhsar is unable to slaughter an animal, then he needs to fast 10 days. ثُمَّ حَلَّ, and then he exits the state of ihram. وَتَسْقُطُ بنسيان في لبس وطيب وتغطية رأس. Separate matter. وتسقط نسيان بنسيان. And the fidya, the penalty, it is not required. في لبس وطيب وتغطية رأس. It is not required if you put on some perfume or you covered your head or you put on some clothing forgetfully. And so it is not required for in deliberately wearing fitted clothing, applying perfume and covering the head. If you did any of these three forgetfully, there's no kafara, there's no penalty due from you at all. Let's break this down. Number one, if you fell into one of the violations in the state of ihram intentionally, then the fidya is obviously due and you had no excuse, etc. You are sinful and the fidya is due from you. Second scenario, I put on a jersey, I did this intentionally, but I had an excuse. It was extremely cold, extremely cold. We say, brother, it was fine, no problem, you had a valid excuse, walhamdulillah, but still the fidya is due from you. Third category, and this is where, by mistake, forgetfully, I put on a jersey. Out of ignorance, I put on the jersey, or I put on some perfume, or I covered my head. Here, or for example, I cut my nails, or for example, cut my hair. Here, we divide matters into two categories. We say that if there was itlaf meaning that the cutting of the nails, there was something which was like broken off. There was something which was like destroyed. It was, removed. Or the cutting of the hair, or for example, the cutting of the nails, etc. Here, whether you did it intentionally, whether you did it forgetfully, whether you did it by mistake, whether you did it, whatever scenario. Here, because something was like lost, the fidya would apply to you. But if you put on perfume, or you covered your head, or you put on some normal clothes, and you did this by mistake, here there's no fidya due from you. It was unintentional, you completely forgot and you did this, and there was nothing lost. You just wash off that perfume and khalas, all is well. You remove what's covering your head, all is well. You remove that jacket, all is well. And so here there's no itlaf, and so there's no fidya due, insha'Allah. وَكُلُّ هَدْيٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٍ فَالْمِسْكِينَ فَالْمَسَاكِينَ حَرَامٍ. And all of the hadi and the feeding of the poor, all of this is for the people of the haram, the poor of the haram. إِلَّا فِدْيَةَ أَذَى وَلُبْسٍ وَنَحْوِهِمَا. Except the fidya of adha and similar to it. فَحِيثُ وُجِدَ سَبَبُهَا. Then you can sort out that fidya wherever you are. Even if you are in Arafat, which is outside of the haram boundary, and while in Arafat you cut your fingernails, for example, purposefully, then here you will need to sort out this fidya. Let's say it's the slaughter of an animal, so you slaughter the animal there, and you can distribute it to the poor people there in Arafat, even though it's not within the haram boundaries. So the author is stating that with regards to the fidya of adha, wherever it occurred, you can sort it out there. And if you don't do that, you can do it later on in the haram, insha'Allah. وَيُجْزِئُ الصَّوْمِ بِكُلِّ مَكَانِ. And your fasting is valid anywhere. وَالدَّمْ شَاتٌ أَوْ سُبْعُ بَدَنَةٍ أَوْ بَقَرَةٍ. And the blood sacrifice is a sheep, or for example, it's a goat, or 1/7 of a camel or a cow. Remember that the cow and the camel, they equal 7 shares. They equal 7 shares each. And so what is required is 1/7, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Faslun fi jaza' as-sayd. Now specifically with regards to somebody who went hunting, do we have, with regards to the various types of animals which could be hunted, the game, what are some of the fatawa of the sahaba in terms of mithl, in terms of this animal has a similar from amongst the animals that we slaughter? Let's see. وَهُوَ ضَرْبَانِ. They are 2 types. مَا لَهُ مِثْلٌ مِنَ النَّعَمِ. That which has a similar like it from livestock animals. فَيَجِبُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْمِثْلِ. Then what is obligatory is that animal. So like the pigeon, it has a similar from amongst the sheep. And that's the ruling of the Sahaba. So you need to sort out the sheep. And then next option, move to the value of the sheep and you feed, etc. As we've discussed. وَهُوَ نُوعَانِ. That which has a similar, they are 2 types. Number one. قَضَتْ فِيهِ الصَّحَابَ. That which the Sahaba had ruled upon, they had given a verdict with regards to it. وَمِنْهُ فِي النَّعَامَ بَدَنَا. And some of the opinions of the Sahaba, they stated that with regards to an ostrich, you need to sacrifice a camel. وَفِي الْحِمَارِ الْوَحْشِ وَبَقَرِهِ وَإِيَّلْ وَتَيْتَلْ وَوَعَلْ بَقَرَةٌ. And with regards to a zebra, an antelope, the deer, hartebeest, and the ibex, for which is a cow. So all of those here you hunted, you need to give a cow. وَفِي الضَّبُعِ كَبْشٌ. And for an adwolf, for which there is a sheep. And وَفِي الْغَزَالِ شَاتْ. For a gazelle, there is a sheep. وَفِي الْوَبَرِ وَالضَّبِّ جَدْيٌ. And with regards to a hyrax and a lizard, for which is a kid, then what is slaughtered is for which is a 4-month she goat, a 4-month year old she goat. So again, wafil wabri wadabbi jadyun wafil yarbu'i jafratun laha arba'atu ashhurin. Again, with regards to the hyrax and the lizard, for which is a kid, the jarbu, for which is a 4-month she-goat, a rabbit. وَفِي الْأَرْنَبِ عَنَاقٌ دُونَ الْجَفْرَةِ. For a rabbit, which is a she-kid less than a she-goat. And then, وَفِي الْحَمَامِ. With regards to a pigeon. وَهُوَ كُلُّ مَا عَبَّ الْمَاءَ وَهَدَرْ شَاتٌ. And that which is every type of bird that drinks water and coos, for which there is a sheep. So that's the first category. The Sahaba, that's their verdict with regards to those animals. والنوع الثاني, second type. ما لم يقضي فيه الصحابة ويرجع فيه إلى قول عدلين خبيرين. And that which the Sahaba did not adjudicate with regards to, then here you go to the judgment of 2 upright specialists in this matter. الضرب الثاني, the second type. ما لا مثل له. That which there's no مثل, there's no similar to it. وهو باقي الطير وفيه قيمته مكانه. And they are the rest of the animals, the rest of the birds, etc. And then, since there's no similar, then we just work out the value of this animal and we operate from there, inshallah. فصل. the sanctity now of Mecca and Medina. So we've covered you in the state of Ihram and you killed one of these animals. But what about you were in Mecca within the haram boundaries and you killed an animal? Then the same rules apply. وَحَرُمَ صَيْدُ haram Mecca. The hunting in the sanctuary of Mecca is impermissible. وَحُكْمُهُ حُكْمُ صَيْدِ الْإِحْرَامِ. And the ruling with regards to it is similar to hunting while in the state of Ihram. So it's all what we previously discussed. وَحَرُمَ قَطْعُ شَجَرِهِ وَحَشِيشِهِ حَتَّى الشَّوْكِ وَلَوْ ضَرَّ وَالسِّوَاكِ وَنَحْوِهِ. It's also impermissible to cut trees and grass, even thorns, which might cause harm, and making a miswak, etc., cutting from the tree to make a miswak within the haram boundaries, all impermissible. Jayid. And leaves, but not dried leaves. Except, what are the exceptions to this rule? Illa al-yabis. Except dried leaves and sweet grass, truffles, mushrooms, fruit, and whatever is planted by man, including trees. So, these trees have been planted by man. No problem. You can cut them, inshallah. The author continues. It is permissible to pasture its grass and benefit from what has died or broken without human interference, even if it's not completely separated. وَيُبَاحُ, so the author states, وَالسِّوَاكُ وَنَحْوِهِ وَالْوَرَقُ إِلَّا الْيَابِسُ وَالْإِذْقِرُ وَالْكَمَأَةُ وَالْفَقَعَ وَالثَّمَرَ وَمَا زَرَعُهُ آدَمِيٌّ حَتَّى مِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَيُبَاحُ رأي حشيشه وانتفاع بما زال أو انكسر بغير فعل آدمي ولو لم يبن. So that's covered. Then the second matter, the author states, وتضمن الشجرة الصغيرة عرفا بشاء. And a small tree, what's the kafara? What's the penalty? One sheep, subhanallah. وتضمن الشجرة الصغيرة عرفا بشاة وما فوقها ببقرة. And that which is bigger then a small tree, then this is the penalty is a cow. وَيُخَيَّرْ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَبَيْنَ التَّقْوِيمِهِ. And you are given the option between either slaughtering that sheep or that cow, or the value of that you pay in terms of the food, etc. وَيُخَيَّرْ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَبَيْنَ التَّقْوِيمِهِ وَيَفْعَلُ بِقِيمَتِهِ كَجَزَاءِ الصَّيْدِ وَحَشِيشِ بِقِيمَتِهِ. And you do the same as was done with the value of the hunted animal. وَكُرِهَا إِخْرَاجُ تُرَابَ الْحَرَامُ وَحِجَارَتُهُ إِلَى الْحِلْ إِلَّا مَا زَمْزَمْ. It is disliked to remove the sand of the haram and the rocks, but not zamzam. Zamzam you can take to wherever in the world you want, insha'Allah. But as for the soil and the sand of the haram, it is disliked to take it outside of the haram. وَتُسْتَحَبُّ الْمُجَاوَرَةُ بِمَكَّةِ. It is recommended to stay in Mecca, to live in Mecca. وَهِيَ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ. It's better than Medina الْمُنَوَّرَةِ, according to majority of the scholars. وَتُضَاعَفُ الْحَسَنَ وَالسَّيِّئَةُ بِمَكَانِ وَزَمَانِ فَاضِلِ. Subhanallah. And good deeds and also evil deeds are magnified during auspicious times and in auspicious places. So the author indicating to us that Makkah al-Mukarrama, your sins are magnified and your good deeds are also magnified. وَحَرُمَ صَيْدُ حَرَمِ الْمَدِينَةِ. Also the hunting within the sacred precincts of Medina, it is also impermissible. وَقَطْعُ شَجَرِهِ وَحَشِيشِهِ لِغَيْرِ حَاجَةِ عَلَفْ وَقَطْبٍ وَنَحْوِهِمَا وَلَا جَزَاءٍ. And similar to Mecca al-Mukarrama, the cutting the trees and the grass, except for need of fodder and saddles, but with regards to Medina al-Munawwara, there's no jaza. There is no penalty which is due. It would be a sin and impermissible, but there's no jaza, there is no penalty like there is with regards to Mecca al-Mukarrama. And obviously, remember, if it's something planted by the humans, then this is something which can be cut, insha'Allah. Excellent. We move on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, to Bab Dukhul Mecca, entering Mecca al-Mukarrama. So we will discuss here the Umrah. Whether it is attached to your Hajj or not attached to your Hajj, somebody is just going for Umrah. Walhamdulillah, this is the sifa and the description of Umrah, insha'Allah. يُسَنُّ نَهَارًا مِنْ أَعْلَاهَا. It is recommended to enter into Makkah al-Mukarramah during the day from its high area. مِنْ أَعْلَاهَا مِنْ ثَنِيَّةِ كَدَى. To enter from the direction of كَدَى. وَخُرُوج مِنْ أَسْفَلِهَا مِنْ ثَنِيَّةِ كُدَى. And when you are leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, you should leave from the lower end and you descend out of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and that is the area of Kuda. ودخول المسجد من باب بني شيبة. It's recommended to enter from the door of Banu Shayba, and this has been removed due to all of the expansion. فإذا رأى البيت, and this Banu Shayba, this is in the direction of باب السلام. باب السلام, this is in that direction. فَإِذَا رَأَى الْبَيْتِ. And when you see the house of Allah, when you see Baytullah, when you see Ka'batullah, then رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَقَالَ مَا وَرَدْ. Then you lift up your hands and you make dua. Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated from him that one of the times, you know, that you should lift up your hands and make dua is when you see the Ka'ba, insha'Allah. The author states that ثُمَّ يَطُوف مُتَمَتِّعٌ لِلْعُمْرَةِ وَمُفْرِدٌ وَقَارِنٌ لِلْقُدُومِ وَهُوَ الْوُرُودِ. And the person making tamattu hajj, this is his umrah. And the person who is doing qiran and the one who is doing ifrad, then this is the tawaf of qudum. This is the tawaf of entering into Mecca. And the one who is doing qiran, this is his tawaf of entering Mecca, and it's also his tawaf of umrah. As the one who is just doing umrah, or he's doing tamattu hajj, technically this is his umrah. So he makes this tawaf, walhamdulillah.
وَيَطَّبِعُ وَيَطَّبِعُ غَيْرَ حَامِلْ مَعْذُورٍ فِي كُلْ أُسْبُوعِهِ.
And when you are making the tawaf around the Kaaba, one should tuck the middle of the top garment for the guy under the right shoulder. Under the right shoulder, so you expose the right shoulder, except one carrying somebody excused in all 7 seconds. So all 7 seconds, you have your right shoulder exposed. The author states that if you are carrying somebody, maybe there's a person who's sick or ill, and so you're carrying him, 3-4 of you are carrying him, you know, on your shoulders. He's the one doing the umrah, you're doing the carrying. You don't need to expose anything on your shoulders. Rather, it is the person who the umrah is for, insha'Allah. So all 7 circuits, insha'Allah. Right? And this we're only doing the tawaf of qudum. Only in your first tawaf. Only in this first tawaf. Later on, during Hajj, you will be making a tawaf, the tawaf of Hajj. There's no ittiba that is done at that time.
وَيَبْتَدِئُهُ مِنَ الْحَجَرِ الْأَسْوَدِ فَيُحَاذِيهِ أَوْ بَعْضِهِ بِكُلِّ بَدَنِهِ وَيَسْتَلِمُهُ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى وَيُقَبِّلُهُ وَيَسْجُدْ عَلَيْهِ.
One begins at the black stone. So you begin your tawaf at the black stone. You face it or a portion of it with the entire body, and then you kiss it. You kiss the black stone with your right hand. You kiss it, so that's the best option. You kiss the black stone, and if you are unable to kiss the black stone, وَيَسْتَلِمُهُ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى, you touch the black stone with your right hand, and you kiss it, and you put your forehead onto it. So these three things you do: touch it with your right hand, you kiss it, and you put your forehead on it, insha'Allah. فَإِنْ شَقَّ لَمْ يُزَاحِمْ. And if that's difficult, don't push the people and, you know, force yourself. وَاسْتَلَمَهُ بِيَدِهِ وَقَبَّلَهَا. If you're unable to do the kissing of it with your lips, you're unable to put your forehead on it, you touch it with your hand, and then you kiss your hand, insha'Allah. فَإِنْ شَقَّ. And if that's also difficult, فَبِشَيْءٍ وَقَبَّلَهُ. Then maybe with a stick or something, you touch the black stone with the stick, and then you kiss the stick, insha'Allah. فَإِنْ شَقَّ. And subhanAllah, if that's also difficult, then you just point to the black stone with your hand or anything else. وَلَا يُقَبِّلُهُ. And you don't kiss your hand or this other item. Let's say you pointed to the black stone with the stick, and here you don't kiss the stick.
وَاسْتَقْبَلَهُ بِوَجْهِهِ وَقَالَ مَا وَرَدْ.
And you face towards it, and you begin your tawaf, insha'Allah, and you say that which is recommended. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. ثم يجعل البيت عن يساره, and then the Kaaba is on your left hand side, and you make your tawaf anti-clockwise. ويرمل الأفق, and the person who came from beyond the haram boundaries, this person, the afaqi, the ufuqi, he will make ramal, he will make ramal around the Kaaba for the first 3 seconds, meaning like jogging, moving at a fast pace around the Kaaba. في هذا الطواف, in this tawaf. But there's no ramal later on in your tawaf of hajj. So this ittiba, exposing your right shoulder, and also moving at a fast pace for your first 3 seconds, this is only done in the tawaf of qudum, your first tawaf in this pilgrimage. فَإِذَا فَرَغَ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْن. Once you are done with your tawaf, then you go and pray 2 rakahs of salah. وَالْأَفْضَلْ كُونُهَا خَلْفَ الْمَقَامِ. It's best to pray these 2 rakahs behind the maqam Ibrahim. Anyway, in the haram behind the maqam Ibrahim. Obviously, directly behind the maqam Ibrahim is better, but if it's too crowded, do not push yourself to go and pray there. وَتَجْزِئُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ عَنْهَا. And any obligatory prayer is sufficient in their place. So let's say you finish your tawaf and then it was time now for Salatul Isha, then that Salatul Isha suffices as the 2 rakahs, inshaAllah. ثُمَّ يَسْتَلِمُ الحجر ويخرج للسعي. And then after this, you go back to the black stone and you make istilam of the black stone. You kiss it, you touch it, as was discussed previously. And then you go towards Safa and Marwa for your sa'i between Safa and Marwa. من باب الصفا, from the door of Safa. فيرقاه, you climb it. حتى يرى البيت, until you see the Kaaba. فيكبر ثلاثا ويقول ما ورد. You make takbir 3 times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allahu wahdahu la sharika la. Lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illa Allahu wahda anjaza wa'da wa nasara 'abda wa hazama al-ahzab wahda. So you mention these words as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, and you repeat this 3 times, and then ثُمَّ يَنْزِلُ مَاشِيًا, and then you come down the mountain. You will find that most of the mountain has like been, you know, removed, and so whatever remains, if you want to go up, you can go up, inshallah. ثُمَّ يَنْزِلُ مَاشِيًا إِلَى الْعَلَمِ الْأَوَّلِ, and then you come down up to the point when there's the signage, and then فَيَسْعَى سَعْيًا شَدِيدًا إِلَى الْعَلَمِ الْآخَرِ, and then you move fast between this area that today you have the green lights, between these 2 green lights, you move at a fast pace. This is for the men, not for the women. This is for the men and not for the women. In remembrance of the mother of Ismail alayhi salam. ثم يمشي ويرقى المروة, and then you come to Marwa, and يقول ما قاله على الصفا, you say what was said at Safa. ثم ينزل فيمشي في موضع مشيه ويسعى في موضع سعيه إلى الصفا, and you keep going between Safa and Marwa and run where you needed to run and walk where you need to walk. يفعله seven times. ويحسب ويحسب ذهابه سعية ورجوعه سعية. And you're going one direction between Safa and Marwa, that's one. And then from Marwa back to Safa, that's another. So 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. يفتتح بالصفا, you begin at Safa. ويختم بالمروة, and you end at Marwa. فإن بدأ بالمروة, but if for example you found yourself at Marwa and that's where you like technically started, لم يحتسب ذلك الشوط. Obviously that movement between Marwa and coming to Safa to start, that day is not counted as anything, because you're starting at Safa and you're not starting at Marwa, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, bi idhnillahi ta'ala, we will end off here, insha'Allah. In our next majlis, we will move on to the sifa of Hajj, the actual description of the 5 days of Hajj, insha'Allah, beginning on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, and then the best day of the year, which is the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and then we have the 10th, which is the day of Eid, a very, very busy day, and then we have the 11th and the 12th, the days of Mina, and if one wants to stay the extra on the 13th, inshallah, these days are called the Ayyam At-Tashriq, inshallah. Hayyakumullah, until we meet again, remember, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, if your knowledge is above average, your ibadah, your character, your akhlaq also supposed to be above average. Where are you with regards to Qiyamul Layl? Where are you with regards to Tahajjud Salah? Where are you with regards to the relationship between yourself and your brother, yourself and your sister? Where are you with regards to your parents? parents, if they are alive, and if they are not alive, when last did you make dua for them? When last did you visit their grave? Your grandparents, how much your favors and blessings they showered you with, subhanallah. When last did we make dua for them? Allahu musta'an. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we ask Allah to grant us tawfiq, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this knowledge beneficial for us and not a proof against us. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.